Okay, we're glad everybody's here. We're start getting a little bit of a late start here. So we will, if you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. If you're visiting with us today, then you're a special guest. And we really do appreciate you coming and being a part of this assembly. We'll have lots of fun today and lots of good food and worship the Lord and hopefully encourage everyone, be a benefit to all of us. So if everybody can, if you can tighten up to the to this side of the room, it would be helpful for folks who come in. We are studying the first eight chapters of the book of Romans, and if you would close that door, please, sir. It is. And we're looking at two ways that a person can be saved. The first one is through keeping law. And that's the one we're looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 18, through chapter 3, verse 20. If you go to chapter 3, verse 21, you'll notice that it says, "But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, is made known." And so beginning in chapter 3, verse 21, we'll talk about another way to be made righteous. But we have to go through, in order to understand and appreciate the concept and the reality of salvation by grace through faith, apart from works of law, then we have to understand some things about law and about works. And we have, to this point, in our preparation, looked at the first part of Romans, Romans chapter 1, the last couple of lessons, and noticed the departure and the sequential departure that man makes from God. We won't go back over that. You're welcome to get the tapes, copies of this. It's on our website, as well as there will be a disc that will be made of each lesson. And at the end of our study, then, if you'd like to have a copy of that, it'll be made available to you. There are two concepts that we need to look at, and it is law and works. As we're thinking about how we try to be righteous by keeping law, then there are some things about law we need to understand. And these things, I'm really convinced, are a lack of understanding of the role that law plays in our life leads us many times to make up some kind of a hybrid system, very much like the Jews of the first century did, that we have some portion of our salvation that we attribute to works and some we attribute to faith, to grace. And depending on how conservative or not you may be, that would depend on how big a role you give works in salvation. Some folks give it almost totality. Others give it a small part. Some give it none. Kind of interesting. And that really does cover the gamut of religion in the world. Every religion has a position on what role works play in our salvation. And so let's start off by my asking you, do works play any part in our salvation? And that's a yes or no question. Do works play any part in our salvation? I see some yeses and I see some noes. And that's the way it is. And we have to understand how can, and if, and to whatever degree that this may be true, thank you. Do we need somebody needs some additional Bibles? Had somebody? Okay. Anyone else?
That's embarrassing.
No, nobody. Nobody wants to admit it.
Uh,
And it's really important that we understand it. And is it possible that both answers are correct? And is it possible that both answers are wrong? It is, isn't it? Now, that's really a strange thing to say. But it's important that you understand how that can be true. And the basis of this is our understanding of how the Bible uses the term works. And there are a number of doctrines in the New Testament that we will never truly understand if we don't understand the concept that sometimes the Bible uses a term with more than one, in more than one setting, that will have more than one meaning. And if you always, and we all kind of tend to start out on this, that we, somebody teaches us early in our life a definition of a word, and particularly when we get into religious circles, we learn a definition of a word and the concept of a word, and we take that definition and that concept to every place that it says that word. And consequently, there are some verses that just knock us for a loop because they don't seem to make sense. They seem, and in this case, they would seem to contradict one another. So I won't take a vote in the class to see who would say what because we've already set the stage. But there is a sense in which the Bible uses the term works that it has no part in our salvation. And there is a sense in which the Bible uses the term works that it does, in fact, play a vital role in our salvation. And so we're going to take some time this morning, and I'd recommend that you make a little note or two to yourself, because if you understand this to the point that you can explain this to somebody, then some of your friends, some of your good, religious, sincere friends who believe that works play no part in salvation at all, then we have a tendency to have a list of all of our passages here that we believe prove that works do play a part in salvation. They have a list of passages over here on this side that they believe teaches that works plays no part in salvation, and so we match lists. Any of you ever been there? And that's where we end up, because we have our verses, they have their verses. And the sad thing is that it's very possible that if we're not careful, we'll surrender whole parts of the Bible as if we either don't understand them or we don't believe them. And how many of you have been in classes, and maybe this is not as prominent as it has been in the past, but many of the classes that I've been in my life, we started teaching the book of Romans or the book of Galatians, and we would come to a passage that would say something like that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we would say, here's what we would do. We would say, now, he's not saying, and then we would spend the rest of the class time trying to prove that he's not saying that works play no part in salvation, and where would we go? James chapter 2. That's our passage. That's the top of our list to prove that works play a part in salvation. And so they would say, well, I don't know what that means, but I know what this verse over here says. And we would, in essence, say the same thing about verses, certain verses in the Bible. Well, I don't know what he meant by saying that, but he didn't mean this. And I know this is true. And so we end up with some passages over here on one side. They have a list on this side, and that's where never the twain shall meet. But there is a solution to that. And it is a very real problem. And when we understand what the solution is, then we're going to be able to help our friends. And we're going to be able to have a conversation with them that's going to end up somewhere other than just, you got your list, I got mine. You got your passages, I got mine. You got your proof text, I've got mine. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. Do works play any role in salvation? If your answer is no, then what do you do with James chapter 2? So turn to James chapter 2. And we'll go over here this one time. As I was saying a little bit earlier, much of my life growing up, we'd be studying the book of Romans and it'd talk about salvation by grace through faith. And we would say, the teacher would say, but he's not saying faith only, salvation. And we would go to James chapter 2. And we would spend the rest of our class time in James chapter 2. And after a while in my life, I got to the point where I felt like, okay, I think I understand what he's not saying. Could we ever get around to what he is saying? And we've robbed ourselves, folks, because we've stayed on the defensive, and we've never, in some cases, gotten around to understanding what he is saying, because we take this defensive position to try to prove what he's not saying, and that's where we end up. And that becomes our religion. And there are some doctrines out there that you certainly need to be aware of that are false, and you need to know how to address them, but that's not where we stop. You know, whenever I go on a camping trip, I don't mind if I need to. If a snake crops up in my tent, I don't mind killing the snake. But I don't want to have to spend all my time looking for and killing snakes. And sometimes in our life, I feel like that's what our religious life is like. We're looking for error. We're looking for snakes out here. And we're just all about killing snakes. Well, let's kill a snake if we need to, and if he's dangerous, and, you know, if he crops up where he shouldn't be, and whatever, let's take care of that. But let's not let that be our religion. There's a world of difference between a religion that is built on what I can't do and a religion that's built on what I can do. There is a world of difference. And while we need to be able to always give an answer for the hope that lies within us, and we need to be able to take care of error that crops up, then that's not our major. That's not our major in our life. And if it has been, then let's work on changing that. Because the Lord died to give us life, an abundant life, and to give us freedom. And sometimes we can't enjoy that life and we can't enjoy that freedom because we're too afraid of it. So, that's some of the things that this will address as we look at this. So for a person who would answer the question, do works play any role in salvation? He would say, no, absolutely not. Works play no role in salvation. Then James chapter 2, verse 14. Let's begin, and Marty, how about reading 14 through 17?
Chapter 2?
Mm-hmm.
What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead.
Okay, let's stop there just a moment. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do here. We're going to show that the term works is used in a good way, in a good sense, as something that is a necessary part of our salvation. It is a legitimate usage of the term in the New Testament. And so he asked the question, what good is it, brothers, if a man claims to have faith but he has no deeds or no works? Here's the question. Can such faith save him? What's the answer to that question? No, it cannot. That's the answer. Now, he didn't say it that way. He didn't say that word, but he's going to illustrate it, isn't he? So here's his first one. Here's his first illustration. As an answer to, can this faith without work save him, without deed save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without food or clothes or daily food. One of you says, go, I wish you well, keep warm, be fed. He does nothing about it. What good is it? What's the answer? It's no good, right? It's no good. I just assume that person not say anything to me if he has it within his ability to help me out and he doesn't do it. I just assume he just said, no, I don't want to. Wouldn't you? But if he says, God bless you, brother. I hope everything works out well for you. Wham, door closes. What good's he done me? He hasn't done me any good, right? In the same way, here's the way he's going to apply this. In the same way, faith by itself, If it's not accompanied by action, is what? Dead. It's dead. Now, he's going to talk about that dead faith now. Someone will say, I have faith, you have deeds. You know, there's not a lot that's changed since the time that this was written, is it? There's still people who maintain that same thing. Here's his response to somebody who says, well, you got works, you know, I've got faith. Show me your faith without your deeds, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Is there any way to demonstrate your faith other than by action? Saying it doesn't make it so, does it? Anybody can lip it off. Anybody can say, I believe that God exists and I trust God and I love God and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Anybody can say that and it doesn't cost you anything. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything. In fact, if it's not backed up by action, it doesn't mean anything, does it? You believe there is one God, good. Even the devils believe that and shudder. Now, I have to tell you a little quick story right here. I had, when I was first preaching in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, back a long, long time ago, a guy came to town with his wife. He was an engineer, and he was working at a plant there. And they were looking for a home, and they lived in a hotel. And somehow, one of the ladies in the congregation ran across them at a grocery store and got into a conversation with them. Ended up with a Bible study. And these people were studying their Bible. And, of course, she came to me and said, hey, you know, I've got a Bible study for you. You know, well, that's the way the brethren do. So that was fine. And so she took me and introduced me, and they were a really nice couple. At that point, didn't have any children, hadn't been married too long. They both came out, were in the process of coming out of a very prominent religion in our world today, and they had studied themselves to the point that they no longer believe what they'd been taught all their life, but they were in the process of trying to find what was true. And so our first meeting that we met in their hotel room, the first one that we had, he was very polite, but he was very firm. He said, Mr. Stigall, I don't know you, but I have some things I want to say to you before we start. I have studied with, and he started naming religious groups that he had studied with. And he said, in each case, we got to a point where the person that I was studying with was trying to tell me that his opinion, he was trying to pass off his opinion as what the Bible said. He said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if what you tell me is not in the Bible, I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to believe it. And he had this long spiel, and I'm sitting here just grinning inside. You know, I'm loving this because he's given my speech, you know, because I want to tell him, listen, don't believe anything because I said if I can't show you the Bible, then don't believe it. You know, so we went through that. So when he got through with his spiel, I smiled and I told him, I said, if you mean what you say, you're going to be a Christian real soon. And he said, well, that's what I want. And so over a period of several weeks, this guy and his wife, they didn't have anything, I shouldn't say it that way, but he would go to work, she stayed in the hotel room, and she studied most of the day, and when they got home at night, they sat down and they studied their Bible until the wee hours of the morning. And they made notes with one another. And they were seriously, seriously studying. And so after over a period of time, we got down to a point where for a while I kind of took a defensive position and let him ask questions and responded to those questions. And then when those questions kind of ran out, then I started making, you know, kind of something of a gospel presentation to him. And we got to the point of talking about faith. And when we got to that point and he saw where I was going, he said, let me tell you something. He said, everything we've studied so far, you've shown me in the Bible, and I believe it. And he said, but I'm going to tell you right now that there is no way that you're going to convince me that salvation is by any way other than faith alone. And I said, well, let's just see what the Bible said. That's what we've done so far, haven't we? And so we were in this study, and he and his wife would have pages of scriptures that they would write down in our study, and they would go and read them together and come back and ask questions and have comments about it and so forth. So I had asked him to write down every verse in the Bible that he believed taught that you were saved by faith alone. And so he wrote, he and his wife wrote out 3 notebook pages of scriptures. And they went back to the Old Testament, came all the way through. They had bunches of them. And so for probably 3 hours, we looked at every single one of those passages. We put them in their context, and we talked about them. And he came to the point where he said, well, okay, it doesn't demand that that is. But I still believe that it is. But this passage doesn't require that it be only by faith. So when we got through with that, I said, okay, now I've answered all your questions, right? We've addressed all of these scriptures. And I said, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. And I'm not going to say a word. Even when you finish, I won't say a word. I'm going to ask you to turn to James chapter 2. I'm going to ask you to read, beginning of verse 14 to the end of the chapter, I'm going to ask you to read it out loud. Would you do that? And I said, I promise you, I won't make a comment. And so he's reading along, and he has this really strong voice, and he got to this point where it said, you believe there is one God? Good. Even the devils believe that. And when he read that passage, his hands started shaking so violently that he almost couldn't hold his Bible. And tears started running down his face. And he was wiping tears and trying to read, and his Bible was just shaking, just like this. By the way, they became Christians, and he is a deacon in the church today, and they're a strong Christian family, and it's a great thing to see that. But this passage is going to show that there is such a thing as a dead faith and a live faith. He says, you believe there's one God? Good. Even the devils believe that and tremble or shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Now, you got that line? Don't miss his line. Faith without deeds is useless or is dead. Now he's going to give you some evidence of that. And the first one is, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did? For what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see then that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Now, I got to put a formula on the board here. Is that true? No, I got y'all's gun shy. Is that true? Be real careful. Okay? From this passage, is that true? Verse 22. You see then that his faith read it to me. Faith
without deeds is useless.
Faith with works was perfect faith.
Faith plus works equals what?
Faith.
Now, dead faith is no faith. What we're getting from James chapter 2 is a definition of faith. But I have seen that formula, I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of times. But that's not what he's saying. Read it until you understand it. You see then that his faith and his actions, you can put deeds or actions, whatever you want to put there, equals faith. Do we have to put saving faith up there? Or living faith? We can if we need to. But what we're getting from James chapter 2 is a definition of saving faith. And we've made it into this formula, and we've read it and put that up there and said that's what that verse says, but that's not what that verse says. Look at it and tell me. Is that what that verse says? Does it say faith plus works equals salvation? Or does it say faith plus works equals saving faith? And the scripture was fulfilled. It says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. So whenever the scripture said Abraham believed God, and the word, the Greek word for belief and faith, are exactly the same word. And so that passage, and that's one of the things that's thrown us, because that passage says Abraham had faith in God and it was credited to him for righteousness. And he was called God's friend. So you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Now, we've read that and we said, yes, that's our passage, man. That's our passage. And so we line it up on our side. That's one of our passages, right? Well, we might better go back and look at our passage and see if our passage says what we always said it did. Because what our passage says is that faith plus works equals saving faith. And faith without works is going to equal what? Dead faith. Dead faith. In the same way, verse 25, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or deeds is dead. So, when we get through James chapter 2, the formula that we have, if we need a formula, and we do, the formula that we have is a formula for what faith is. So anytime we talk about faith from here on, what do we know about the faith? It includes what? Deeds of obedience, right? So we don't, from now on, whenever the Bible will say that we're saved by faith, do we have to spend the rest of our time in James chapter 2? Now, I'm going to remind you of it repeatedly. But let's don't have to go back and re-lick this calf over and over and over and over again. Okay? Let's take care of this one time. Sorry about the little euphemism, man. Okay? You'll remember it, see? How many of you even know what that means? Okay, so we've got our job taken care of here. We know what faith is, right? Pardon?
You might not explain that.
Well, whenever a mama cow has a calf, she cleans it up by licking it. And if she doesn't do a good job, she's got to go back and do it again. So let's do a good job, and we don't have to go back and redo our job again. All right? Now, that's the only thing y'all going to remember from this lesson. Okay, James 2 defines saving faith for us. So from now on, when we go to Paul's epistles, Paul knows what saving faith is. And so when he says we're saved by faith, what's he going to be saying? That faith is a living faith. It is a saving faith. It's not a dead faith. And that makes all the difference in the world, folks. And so if you go over to Paul's epistles and you read that we're saved by grace through faith, then to your mind you say, well, that's accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And Jesus said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to what? Enter the kingdom of heaven. So, there's more than one way that the term works is used in the Bible, and that will have an effect on how faith, what faith is. Now, for those, and let's follow our, for the sake of our lesson, you probably are familiar with it, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. By the way, while you're turning there, there's one more little quick story. In one of the last classes that I had in my home in Arkansas, I had a lady and her husband, and she grew up in the church, and he had gone to church with her for many, many, many years, and just was there every time the doors opened and so forth, and they had started coming to the church where I was preaching, and I invited them to a class, Romans class, and we're going through the same thing that we're going through here. And when we went through this section, James chapter 2, at the end of it, and this guy's retired. He's a retired postmaster. When we got through that lesson that included this in it, I said, are there any questions? And he said, Ken, take 3 minutes and go back over what you said in James 2 and summarize it one more time, because for the first time in my life, I think it makes sense. And he became a Christian at the end of that class. Because for the first time, there were some passages that always seemed to conflict with each other. And now he could reconcile those passages. And that's what this, one of the things that this does, one of the benefits this has. So let's look at the other side. Someone who says, yes, works are vital for our salvation. Then you're going to be taken over to passages like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. And what does the next phrase say? Not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so you have a group of people, religious, good, sincere religious people who've been taught all their life that faith and works have no part in faith. And that can, no part in salvation. Consequently, works can have no part in faith. And there's a real hang up right there. If works play no part in salvation, somebody says you can't earn your salvation. If works play no part in your salvation, then it can have no part in faith. Are you with me? You understand? If you've been taught that all your life, then any time somebody comes up with something that requires you to do something, you automatically say it cannot have any part in salvation. And that's why people say baptism is not essential for salvation, because they would classify it as a work, and we don't have any part. This says it is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you've been taught that all your life, and anything that requires a response from you, you say that can't have any part in salvation. Automatically, can't have any part in salvation. Now, by the way, we got some automatics too. But if you find yourself in that position, then understand that person's been taught that, and he can't accept the fact, because he can't reconcile that. He can't reconcile that works play a part in salvation. And so, like Martin Luther said on one occasion, wrote that James was a, quote, right strawy epistle fit only to be burned. Why? Because it didn't fit his theology. And he couldn't make that, he couldn't reconcile that with what he understood the rest of the Bible to say. Now, before I leave that, in all fairness to Martin Luther, later in his life, he came back and recanted what he said. Okay? But at one point in his life, that's what he said. That James was a right strawy epistle fit only to be burned. So, because it couldn't be true. Because it conflicted with what he believed and what he had been taught all his life. So there is a sense, and from this context, do works play any part in our salvation, what he says right here? It sure appears like he's saying that it doesn't play any part, doesn't it? It's by grace you've been saved, not of yourself, the gift of God, not by works. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Not by works. And so here's one of their passages, if you're on the other side, and they line them up, and they feel just really confident about this. Works cannot play any part in salvation. Now, either James and Paul are contradicting one another, which some people would maintain. Or the Bible is using the term works in more than one way. There are those works by which a person would seek to justify himself. And then there are those works that are a response to your trust and obedience in God. and they're entirely, they may be the same thing, but the motivation is what matters. It's what makes one use of the term works has no part in salvation. Those whereby somebody would seek to justify himself. And if you're under law, by the way, that's what they all are. Because there is no grace. There is no Savior. And if you're trying to be saved by law, then you just got to pile all those good works up and hope you get enough of them and a pile big enough so that God will overlook the things that you did wrong. And there are some of us, even though that's an oversimplification, there are some of us that are living that way. That we just, you know, we just keep trying to pile up these good things and these good things, and we always are living with this guilt when we do something that's wrong and we feel like it just canceled everything out. And we're living it with this balance system. We're trying to be justified by works. And when we learn that works have a proper place, and that is under the umbrella of faith. You see, the problem right here is that you're attributing some portion of your salvation to faith and some to works. And you're saying, okay, my faith will take me. Here's righteousness up here. And here I am down here. And my works will only take me up to here. That's about 60% of my salvation. And so this right here is God's going to have to take care of this. This is faith, grace, whatever. This part down here is works. And if I get better, then maybe I'm up here. And God's only going to have to take care of 10% of my salvation. Folks, that is not what the Bible teaches. Salvation is by grace through faith all the way. And are works essential for salvation or are they not? They're essential for faith, aren't they? And without them, you don't have a saving faith. But the Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith. And we're going to work that passage, we're going to work that over and again and again and again until we understand what he said. Because he didn't say faith, grace plus faith either. We're going to get to that a little later. Not only did he not say faith plus works equals salvation, he didn't say grace plus faith either. He's going to say grace equals salvation through faith. That's how we get it. And where there's no merit in faith whatsoever. Even though it does contain works, it's how we receive God's saving grace. Okay, I'm not going to ask her any questions because I hope there's lots of questions right now. And we just ran out of time. So we will pick up again in Romans chapter 2. And we're going to look at, I've got a little illustration I'll start with next time that I wanted to put in this one, but we don't have time. So we're going to talk about how God is going to judge the person who's never heard the gospel. When that person dies and he's never had a Bible in his life, how's God going to judge him? Okay? So come back. Thanks.